This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Rick Britton joins me live. He is a local author, historian, online at rickbritton.com. How are you, sir? It's good to see you.
I'm doing pretty good. It's good to see you, too. Man, what a nice day today.
Can you believe this?
It's 80 what out there?
About 80. That's this thing here says 83 degrees.
Oh, man, it is gorgeous.
I know. I can't believe it.
Well,
it.
It's like summer again. It's summer again.
It's really strange. I can remember as a kid, I hate to do these. I remember when I was a kid.
That's all right.
But I do remember October used to be very autumnal. And like, right. You need a jacket.
Right.
You know, you just had to have a jacket even in October. And November was cold.
That's right.
We'd get snow in November.
That's right. It's October.
You know, and that was here in Virginia, but it is October. Yeah. It's almost mid-October, and it's still in the 80s.
Now, next week is mid-October. Don't do that to me. Next week is mid-October. You're jumping the gun a little bit.
So what have you been doing?
Oh, man, I've been really busy. I just finished a series of maps for a book by an archaeologist down at William & Mary, Susan Kern. It's called
Jefferson, I know Susan. Yep.
Jeffersons of Shadwell. And so I got to do a full-page illustration of the plantation there, of Shadwell. It was pretty darn neat.
That must be a first, because I can't think of any place I've ever seen anything like that.
Yeah, now he actually did, and I actually got to base my illustration on a little map that TJ did himself. So that was pretty darn cool, basing it on his work.
Now, your maps are really cool because they sort of they show you where everything is in relation to everything else. They're very, very cool. Tell us what this looked like. I mean, Shadwell was, of course, down here off of just past 64.
That's
right. As you're going 250 east,
that's
off
right.
to the right.
That's right.
There's a historic marker there.
That's right. So if you remember, if you're going east on 250, and 250 right there pretty much is the three-notched road or three-chopped road, and that was the major. It had been built right on top of a Native American trail from just west of Richmond all the way to the Shenandoah Valley. So it's the main east-west highway through central Virginia. So 250 pretty much is three-notched road. So that's the main landmark to the north, and then that ridge rises, and the ridge kind of runs parallel to the three-notch road, three-chopped road. And then the river, there's a broad sweep of the river just to the south. So the ridge where the plantation was, where Jefferson's birthplace was, is in between those major landmarks that are almost parallel to each other right there.
What was it like? Is it just a little log cabin, or what was it?
It was open. It was a pretty good-sized place. I mean, the thesis of the book is that, you know, despite the fact that they were out in the wilderness, out on the frontier out here, you know, in the 1720s when Peter Jefferson first came out here, that actually they had brought a lot of the best kind of stuff up from Tidewater.
Interesting.
So it was well-stocked. I mean, they had china, they had silverware, you know, they had some nice things inside of this house, and it was a pretty good sized place. And then it had outbuildings, your typical outbuildings, and the slave cabins. And it kind of ran, the house and the outbuildings kind of ran in a line parallel to the road up on that ridge, kind of looking down at the river.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then just below it there, below the hill, if you can picture that hill and the slope down to the river, then that's where Peter Jefferson put up his mills, and later Thomas Jefferson had his mills right there.
Yeah.
So it's kind of an interesting place.
And, of course,
place.
Monticello would have been directly across the river, rising up.
A ways away, about 3 miles away. But, yeah, you could definitely see Monticello
see
from
the
right
summit.
There.
So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. He grew up and walking around over there.
Sure. And Monte Alto directly behind it.
Yeah.
Right.
From very neat. When's the book come out?
So this book will probably be out in the spring.
Next year?
In the spring. Yeah, definitely next year.
And it's sort of the whole story of Shadwell.
It is, and all the interconnections. Of course, it's from an archaeological point of view with what they discovered in the digs. She was in charge of the digs up there, and what it tells us about the family and about the slave culture up there, and the enslaved African-American community up there, and all of that. It's pretty interesting. Pretty
very
interesting
cool.
stuff. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. So you just finished those, man.
Just finished those. So
okay.
I'm sending them down. They're going to be scanned, and that's a book for Yale University Press. That's,
good deal.
That's pretty neat.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
That's
great. I'm pretty excited about that.
So what
She's
else are you
nice
working
lady.
On?
Oh, man, we got a bunch of upcoming talks on Monday, October 19th at the Greene County Library in Stanardsville. I'll be speaking at 7 o'clock on Thomas Jefferson and science, so that's absolutely free. At Barnes & Noble, they asked me to be in charge of the new history group, so I'm organizing that. So we're going to get together the first Tuesday of every month, and the first one is November 3rd. We're going to do that at 6 p.m., so the first Tuesday of every month at 6 o'clock. If you're interested in history books, come on by Barnes & Noble. And we're going to talk about history books. We're going to pick a book, read a book, and then discuss it. And it's not all going to be Civil War books or Thomas Jefferson books, my two main areas of interest. We're going to poll all the people and get different kinds of, you know, women's studies, African-American studies, all kinds of things.
Did you ever read Gary Will's book on the founding of the University of Virginia?
I haven't
read
that
one. It's not a big
one. No, I haven't read that one.
It's a small hardback.
You recommend it?
I just started it.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'm only about, you know, maybe 50, 60 pages in, but
okay.
I'm enjoying it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so the folks... Folks, come on by. I'll keep that one in mind. Come on by in Barnes & Noble if you're interested in that. And then you and I have a joint book signing. We need to talk about this.
Yeah.
It's on Wednesday, November 4th at 6 o'clock at Barnes & Noble. And we're both going to be reading selections and signing our Jefferson books.
There you go. That'll be fun.
That'll be a lot of
fun.
What
time is that on November 4th?
On November 4th, Wednesday, November 4th, so the day after Election Day at 6 o'clock. At Barnes & Noble. Be there or be square.
All right. Well, I will leave out of here a little early and get over there right at 6.
You're going to have to leave a little early.
Yeah, I'll leave at 5:30 that day.
Sorry about that.
Not a problem.
And then something I'm starting that's absolutely new, and I'm starting it tomorrow. I'm starting to give tours out at Keswick Hall. So tomorrow is the first one, and they're absolutely free. So if you've ever wondered about the history of Keswick Hall, how that whole thing got started, and the history of that area, come on out. It's absolutely free tomorrow, Saturday at 1 p.m.
That would be really interesting.
It is.
What
really,
is the history of that? When was that built?
Well, I can't tell you because that would blow the whole thing for tomorrow. But when I come back next time, I'll tell you all about it.
Yes.
How about that?
It's a deal.
But I don't want to blow it because I want people to come. It's fascinating, and that whole area of the county, which is the eastern side of the Southwest Mountains, that was called the Flatlands. And there are some pretty amazing people who were born and grew up or lived on that side of the Southwest Mountains, when you think about it.
Yeah.
A lot of names come to mind, including two presidents of the United States, Dr. Thomas Walker, the Clark family, some interesting folks.
Yeah,
over there.
Very cool. So again, that is tomorrow?
That is tomorrow at Keswick Hall at 1 o'clock. It's free. It's going to be about a half an hour or so, 35 minutes, 40 minutes. The first part is about the history of that estate, and then I'm going to open it up and talk more broadly about that whole region of the county.
Well, people can make a day of it. Go out and have lunch.
Absolutely.
Out at Keswick Hall, an amazing restaurant.
It's an amazing place.
If it's a day like today, you can eat outside on the terrace, overlooking the golf course, and stay for your talk, and then have some drinks.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Yeah, or have some drinks before the talk, and then after the talk. Yeah. And then next week is my last lecture and day trip in that Civil War series at the Senior Center. So folks can come by the Senior Center on Tuesday, October 13th at 6 o'clock. And it's a free talk by Bill Bergen on the Battle of Cedar Creek, which took place October 19th, 1864. And then the following Saturday, the 17th, we're actually taking a busload of folks up to see the reenactment of Cedar Creek. And if you're not familiar with reenactments, I mean, this is a great way to learn a little bit about what it looked like. And the one at Cedar Creek is consistently the biggest and the best.
Really?
Put together in Virginia. Yeah, consistently.
What makes it that so good?
They've just been doing it for so long. They get the best units out there. A lot of the units come. They get a lot of numbers on the field because traditionally it's kind of the last one of the reenacting season. So everybody gets all excited about this one. Because it's in mid-October, it's really cool. So the camping is really, really nice in the evening. So they consistently put 2,000, 3,000, sometimes even 4,000 men on the field.
Holy cow!
That's right.
I thought you were gonna say
100. So you can really get an image of what that must have looked like. And it's a great learning experience, especially for kids. And the way I look at it is if just a few of the kids in the audience, you know, 10,000 people will come out to watch this thing. But if a few kids in the audience get more interested in reading about history and learning about the Civil War and perhaps becoming historians or writers, then I think it's all worthwhile.
Yeah. Now, yeah. Cedar Creek is where?
Cedar Creek is in the Shenandoah Valley, in the northern section of the valley, just north of Strasburg and south of Winchester. So from here, it's really, if you go via 81, it's really only about an hour and a half. Yeah, it's a really nice trip. It's easy to get there. It's just off of 81, and it's a fantastic reenactment. It's one of the best.
Is it up near Newmarket?
What's that? It's a considerably north of Newmarket.
Okay, all right. So further up north than that.
Yeah, Newmarket is, gosh, a good 50 miles south.
So it's north of Luray, then?
It is north of Luray.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And, well, we want to talk about the Battle of Cedar Creek, but before we do that, let me ask you, how long have people been doing reenactments of the Civil War?
The reenactments pretty much have been going on, the modern ones that we think of, since the centennial, so since 1961. They've been going on. So it's been a while now.
Wow, that is a long time.
And consistently, though, the people have gotten better and better about the accuracy in the uniforms, the accuracy of the drill, the equipment that they use. So it really does, you know, aside from the fact that, yes, most of the guys are older, most of the guys are heavier, you know, it does at a distance. It really does look accurate, and it gives you a good idea of what that must have been like and how horrible, you know, that combat must have been like.
Yeah.
And I think it's important, you know, from a historian's point of view, it's important to remember what everybody sacrificed and what it was like so that we don't do it again. It's kind of, it's almost counterintuitive in a way. You know, that song from the 60s, Ain't Gonna Study War. Well, if we don't study war, we forget about how horrible it was. So if we don't study, then there's a better chance.
Then you forget how you got into it in the first place.
Exactly. Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You make mistakes again.
It's better to study it to avoid doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
good
more
point.
Important. Yeah.
And people like you who are involved in it are truly, some of these guys are really, I met one guy, I think you sent me up to talk to one guy up in Madison about a knife. Because talked to some guy up there. I can't remember his name.
Really knew his stuff, huh?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I was so impressed. I couldn't take notes fast enough. I mean, what these people know about history
is just
stunning.
Yeah.
You know, the real micro history that's not really in the history books.
That's right.
How people actually lived day to day.
Right.
Really amazing.
Right, right.
Let's take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll talk a little bit about Cedar Creek. We're talking with Rick Britton. This is Charlottesville right now.
When you don't believe a word.
We're talking with Rick Britton, local author, historian, online at rickbritton.com. And remind us again, next week at the Senior Center, you're talking about Cedar Creek and then...
That's right. We're talking about Cedar Creek on the evening of Tuesday, October 13th at 6 o'clock. And the speaker will be Bill Bergen. He really knows his stuff. And one of his specialties is General Horatio Wright, who is at the Battle of Cedar Creek. And he'll be talking about it from Horatio Wright's point of view. And then on Saturday, we're actually going to see the reenactment on the battlefield, on the actual site.
A week from tomorrow.
Yeah, a week from tomorrow. That's Saturday, October 17th. Right.
I can't believe they get thousands of people out there.
They get thousands
of people. So what is this battle? Is this on the anniversary of the battle? Or is...
Yeah, the battle actually was, well, it's pretty close. The battle was on October 19th, so the reenactment is only 2 days off of the actual anniversary.
So it was a late fall battle.
It was late fall. It was a really interesting fight because the war around Richmond between Grant and Meade and Robert E. Lee had pretty much stagnated by October. Robert E. Lee had detached an entire corps under Jubal Early to operate in the Shenandoah Valley. And the Shenandoah Valley in the past had been almost a backdoor route to get up to Maryland and to threaten Washington, D.C. Robert E. Lee had done that before. And Jubal Early managed to do that, but they stopped him just outside of Washington, and then he retired back into the valley. And people had finally gotten fed up with this kind of use that the Confederate Army had made of the Shenandoah Valley. And so Grant assigned Philip Sheridan, who was a very aggressive commander.
He's the one that burned all the fields.
And he assigned Sheridan to go out there and pretty much just clean up the Shenandoah Valley. Now, this one action, Sheridan wasn't with his army. And even though his army, he was at a military conference in Washington. So while he was away, the army was under his second-in-command, Horatio Wright, General Horatio Wright. And that Union army numbered about 30,000. Jubal Early still had about 18,000. And so he came up with a pretty audacious plan, and that is to attack them in their camps first thing in the morning, just before daylight, to overrun their camps and kind of drive them.
That usually wasn't done?
That oftentimes wasn't done, and especially he got in around them by using a path along the base of Massanutten Mountain. He got along and got and attack them from a direction they weren't expecting an attack from. And lots of times, if you can, the term they'd use back then is getting the bulge on the enemy. Once you could get the bulge on the enemy and they start running, lots of times you could gobble up a lot of the men, a lot of the enemy, and capture them as prisoners. And in the morning, that was pretty successful. They actually managed to overrun the federal camps and drive them back, capture a lot of federal prisoners, capture artillery. But what happened is, dramatically, Sheridan rode back, and this is his famous ride back to the sound of the gunfire. He rides back from Winchester on his famous horse, Renzi, and along the route, he sees troops retreating, Union troops retreating, and he rallies them and he brings them back into the battle. And on the opposite side, Jubal Early's men capturing the camps. The camps had all kinds of food. They had breakfast cooking, as you can imagine, coffee over the fire. A lot of the men fell out of the ranks.
They let their guard down.
To loot the camps.
Ah.
And so it's a fascinating battle because in the morning, the Confederate Army was victorious, very victorious. And if they had managed to keep in the ranks, people argue, and keep their numbers up, they probably could have driven the rest of them from the field. But they let their guard down. Just like you said, Sheridan returns, they counterattack, and they pretty much destroy Jubal Early's army. So they capture all the artillery that they'd lost in the morning. Then they capture all of Jubal Early's artillery, captured almost all of his ambulances, captured his wagon train as he was retreating. So it started off great for the Confederate Army and then turned into a disaster. But the real importance of this battle is, think of what was happening just 3 weeks later, after October 19th, 1864. It was the November election, the presidential election. So thanks to the dramatic victory in the Shenandoah Valley, and thanks to Sherman's march to the sea and the capture of Savannah, two of the things that helped Abraham Lincoln win the 1864 election.
Interesting.
So very important battle in the Shenandoah Valley.
And that's going to be, it's going to be fascinating to watch that reenactment.
Oh,
because
yeah.
You see one side winning, and then the other side's,
that's right,
you know,
they come back.
Comes
right.
back, a big wave comes back. Very
right.
fascinating.
Yeah.
Join Rick Britton next Tuesday night at the Senior Center, and also a week from tomorrow for the Cedar Creek reenactment. You can get more information from the Senior Center at...
That's right, 974-6538 or www.seniorcenterinc.org.
There you go. Thank you, Rick. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, man. Take care.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.